2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper. Hope you're having a fantastic week thus far. I know that probably not feeling too great about BYU's college football playoff rankings. We're going to get into all of that and a whole lot more here on the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at @Mitch_Harper, Mitch Harper KSL on Instagram, and download the KSL Sports app today to get all the content from KSLSports.com. So we're going neck deep into this playoff reaction stuff. And also at the end of the show, I got a message for you as well that I wanted to share talking about earlier this week. But the playoff rankings, BYU checks in at number 14 in the initial college football playoff rankings. Wow. It is unreal how this sport, college football, operates. Like, we know it's corrupt. We know it's corrupt. But just to see the blatant bias towards BYU, I think it's just, it's a joke. In a year in 2020 where there is a pandemic and schedules are in flux every single week and a team lost its schedule with six Power 5 teams, and you're going to knock them now because of the strength of schedule component. This was the announcement on ESPN, and you could clearly hear in the tone from everyone on ESPN how shocked they were that BYU was at number 14.
Bit of a surprise that BYU, and I referenced earlier, their schedule certainly doesn't measure up. We've talked about them a lot, the Cougars with the eye test. They more than measure up. They only have one more game left on the schedule against San Diego State. There is a possibility of adding another one along the line. But BYU, much lower than expected, and Iowa State, they're at 6-2 at number 13. Oklahoma and Indiana up at 11-12.
It's shocking just how low BYU was disrespected. I honestly thought it was going to be around 9 or 10 was where I thought BYU would check in. I thought for sure they'd be in that top 12 at-large mix. But to put them at 14, to me, I looked at that and said, that is clearly a statement of, you're not going to be in the big boys club. You're not going to get that $4 million payday. So quit thinking like you're going to get that. And the thing is, too, is the Washington slander, that worked. That worked to a T. The narrative that was pushed from the Pacific Northwest of BYU's waiting, they're sitting on their hands, they kind of want to wait and see till Tuesday to see where they rank to possibly play Washington. Folks, and you know this as well as anyone because you're following the correct narrative. That was a total hit job from the Pac-12, from Washington, from the Pacific Northwest. And they use Washington as the team, knowing that, well, Washington has dominated BYU the last 2 years, so there's an angle to spin that, oh, BYU's ducking the Huskies. Two, You knew full well that Utah was going to play Washington. Coming out of Saturday night after Utah lost to USC, there was talks on Saturday night that everyone pretty much knew Utah was going to play Washington. And for BYU to just give themselves to the Pac-12 and then get rolled, get the rug pulled out from under them to benefit their rival who's 0-1 and has been in shambles this entire year from both football and basketball with handling COVID and dealing with the Pac-12 conference, why would BYU want to do that? But I think so many people, including the playoff committee, bought the narrative pushed by guys like Bruce Feldman, guys that cover the Huskies on that local beat. They bought the narrative hook, line, and sinker, and that just wasn't the case. BYU should have came out on Sunday night and just made a statement and said, no, this is inaccurate. We want this game. But BYU wanted a commitment. And I think that, honestly, you got to be fair. And I even hated putting out the tweet like I did, basically making it seem like I'm defending BYU or anything. That's not my job to do that. But the thing is that it was a completely false narrative. Because anyone that knows and follows BYU football, and I know all of you that listen to this podcast pretty much do, but for those of you that are visitors, that are maybe Washington fans listening or college football fans, BYU is willing to take on any game possible. Folks, they were going to schedule Alabama to open the season. Colin Coward, before the season, said you got to respect how BYU is willing to play anyone. That has been the BYU way since the early days of Lavelle Edwards. BYU is always looking to prove their worth against the best teams in college football. That's just how they operate. That's just what they want to do. That's why when people say, oh, they should dumb down the schedule, have the easiest path possible. Well, this is your reward. You're never going to get anything playing an easy schedule. And BYU by no means wanted to play this schedule that's ranked 81st by the ESPN FPI. They wanted to play their original schedule of six P5s, which, by the way, not that great of slate when you look at the records those teams currently have. To knock BYU this year because solely of strength of schedule. I get it in any other year. 2001, there was an argument to be had. That 2001 schedule was horrendous. But the dominance of that offense was incredible. This year's team has been statistically unstoppable. You cannot deny the dominance that BYU football has displayed on the field. You play a shorthanded Boise State team, sure. You play a weak Texas State team. You play a weak Western Kentucky. They're handling these teams the way that you should if you're truly a top 10 team and a New Year's Six at large. They're dominating the way that they should. And it's not even close. Zach Wilson's checking out of every game. So for people to completely just buy in to the narrative that was put around the Washington game, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous because BYU, they always want to play these games. This was Kalani Sitake, and when I asked him on Tuesday night about the timeline of events with the Washington game.
Yeah, so we knew, I mean, first of all, if you're looking through our schedule, we look for any time there's a game canceled. And that's our players. That's everybody. That's like, hey, this game got canceled. And so we know that with COVID, and sometimes it extends to another week where that game, maybe you look at a future opponent, and maybe possibly that game the next week would be canceled. So everyone kind of knew that there's a possibility that Washington State wouldn't be able to play against Washington. Tom and their people were communicating. I think we were hoping to get it done as early as possible. And throughout their conversations, all I know is that there's a possibility. And when we knew about it, we were really excited. And when we were looking at all the different things that they were talking to and the offers that were made from both sides and things like that, we decided that, hey, this is a possibility. So we decided to practice. We decided to go ahead and practice and prep and watch film and get ready and have a game plan in place for Washington. So we had a really good practice yesterday. I mean, really good. The guys are upbeat, so fired up, and guys had to. I mean, we knew we were going to play this week earlier, and so we told them, hey, maybe there won't be anything. But when we told them that there's a game, possible game, we had a lot of people cancel plans and with the hopes that this would happen, and when it didn't, our team was very disappointed, you know. And like I said before, I said earlier in the show, the narrative that we were ducking or hiding or waiting for the announcement to happen is clearly not true. It's a false narrative. And so that's disappointing. We were disappointed that we didn't get to play this game. And for whatever reason, Washington, Pac-12 Conference, and BYU, they weren't able to come to terms and play this game. If it was up to our players, this game would have already been scheduled and played as soon as possible. Unfortunately, Zach Wilson and the boys can't make our schedule, but maybe we should allow them to do it once in a while, you know. But we have a bunch of competitors. I love our boys, and I love the swagger that they have and the excitement they have to play the game, and I'm going to always support them. So the chance that this game would happen got us all excited, and then when it fell through, we're really disappointed. So I don't know if that explained. I don't know all the details. You probably have to talk to Tom and talk to them, but I don't know where this narrative started that we were hiding or waiting. I just want to crush that right away because we practice. We're ready to play them. You know, we're looking forward to the game.
Yeah, BYU.
I'm really confident in it.
BYU practiced on Monday, and they were ready to go. They wanted a game. There was the counter proposal that we've been able to confirm here at KSL that BYU countered, wanted to have the game in Provo. Now, understand that Pac-12, they can only play games with these non-conference games at their home venue, but BYU's angle was, hey, $20 million financial shortfall currently in our athletic department, our being BYU. We'll give you the TV rights, let it be on Fox, let it be on ESPN, whatever you want it to be. It'll be Pac-12 network TV revenue. Washington takes home the TV revenue, but give BYU the luxury of not having to worry about travel on short notice and have that pulled on them at the last minute. And, of course, that's what ended up happening. And that's why there's always going to be leeriness to playing the Pac-12 in the non-conference this year. And even Mark Harlan, who had a pregame interview with Utah IMG Network, Learfield IMG Network, before their USC game, he even said on that interview with the voice of the Utes, Bill Riley, he said that it's going to be very difficult path. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but it was going to be a very difficult path for a non-conference game to happen. It's basically not going to happen. Now, USC next week could be a team to watch for. And I got to say, if there's any smoke potentially of BYU and USC, BYU just needs to scream to the masses, we're going to play the game. Because, man, the hit job, the narrative that was put out there from the Pacific Northwest, it worked. And it clearly had an impact on BYU's ranking because you look at BYU analytically, their dominance is top-notch. Number one graded team in Pro Football Focus ratings. The number one team. Number one offense, number nine defense. I mean, you look at advanced data, you look at quality control, which, by the way, was not a metric brought up by Gary Barta, who we'll get to in a moment here. Quality control is usually a metric that's always brought up every single year. Now, all the playoff committees usually change, some of the committee chairs, all these different things, but quality control, which would have been a metric that would have benefited BYU, that's suddenly not as big of a component this year. Look, I love college football as much as the next person. I love this sport. I love it. I love college football. I love the pageantry. I love the history. But I'm sick and tired of seeing college football ran and operated because, well, you know, Ohio State was good 80 years ago, and they've always been good, so they'll always be in the top four. Now, Ohio State is elite, but I'm tired of it just simply being program brands that get in. That's it. That's the only measuring stick. Cincinnati got handed the number seven spot, and people are like, oh, they got a path to the playoff. No, they don't. They have no path. They have zero path. The top four teams, Alabama's going to be in. They could lose to Auburn and still be in. Saban's got COVID again, or not again, but it's clear this time. They could lose this weekend. They'll still get in. They could lose to Florida in the SEC title. They'll still get in. They're going to be in. Notre Dame and Clemson, one of those two guaranteed to be in. And if Clemson wins the ACC title and Notre Dame wins out the rest of the regular season, both of them are in. And Ohio State, of course, will be in. And if it's not Ohio State, Northwestern will get in. There's no path for Cincinnati. There's none. Texas A&M, a non-champion, would get in before Cincinnati. That's why when people say, oh, there's nothing for Cincinnati to gain, I disagree. They should still schedule BYU, but sounds like that's not even a possibility now, because Cincinnati's game this weekend has been canceled due to COVID-19 against Temple. Both teams have COVID-19 issues, and it's going to prevent them from playing December 5th as well. But my thought was, you still have some benefits to gain, because Cincinnati, you're trying to get to the playoff. Even with one loss, you could still be the highest Group of Five champion, which gets the auto bid. For BYU, they're trying to get in the New Year's Six. That's now in serious jeopardy. BYU in the New Year's Six, I thought it was going to be a close call. Don't get me wrong. I've been saying the hesitancy from the nefarious nature of this committee. I'm kidding, but I've warned folks on this podcast about it's not a lock that BYU gets to the New Year's Six because it's a committee. And clearly, that is an issue. So hopefully BYU can add a game. I just think the opportunities are quickly drying up. I think you hit up Liberty on December 19th and play a game. I know they're not in the top 25, but find a way. Make it work. I think it's worthwhile. Maybe. Tough to say. It's a tough deal for BYU, and it's unfortunate. And you could just tell the reaction by all the national pundits on social media, on ESPN. They were just surprised by BYU's low ranking.
I'm still blown away. We got BYU down at 14 and Indiana at 12. Crazy. BYU AD may want to get on that hotline to Seattle as quick as possible, and he wanted to see where the rankings are. Well, now you know where you are. You better find any game you can find to climb the ladder. But Georgia, I think that's a little high personally for Georgia at 9.
You know, Herbie has been all in on BYU the whole season. He kind of got sour on the Cougs after the whole reported they're backing away from the Washington game, and he brought that up. It's like, dude, don't just completely believe something from one side of the story. That's the problem with society today. You believe one side of it, you don't get the full scope of the picture. Get the full perspective. It should be noted, the Washington-Utah game was announced right after the playoff rankings were released. You can't tell me this wasn't some setup to hit BYU and push them down to try and bolster up the Pac-12. It was a total hit job, and it worked. And BYU might not have any sort of chance to get in the New Year's Six. Because you're telling me, even if they get up to the 12th spot, even if they move up, you mean to tell me the selection committee is going to put BYU in? There's no guarantees. And that selection committee is led by Gary Barta. And he was asked by Reese Davis on the ESPN broadcast, why BYU at 14?
Well, the committee is very impressed with BYU. Zach Wilson is definitely a Heisman candidate, playing at a high level. They've beaten three or four teams above 500. But as you look at their schedule, and that's certainly where the committee went and looked at their best win is against Boise State. Boise was shorthanded in that game. So the committee is very impressed with BYU, but certainly schedule compared to the teams around them came into play.
Shorthanded Boise State. That was the best win for BYU. Man, it's, you're not hearing Notre Dame get their greatest win being labeled shorthanded Clemson. Not only did Clemson have their top quarterback out, they also had one of their top defensive players out. You're not hearing that spin for Clemson. This is the problem with being an independent program for BYU. You have no allies. You have no voice to go to bat for you. Look, I think BYU should be an independent. An us against the world mentality is what BYU has to take on to honestly fight the powers that be in college sports. But this is what I worried for BYU, was that you would kind of get an indictment of how the committee views independent BYU in the playoff ranking system. And they view you like a group of five. Maybe worse, because with the conference, Cincinnati is getting a little bit of the benefit of the doubt because of UCF's success in recent years. And they don't want to just completely have a hit job once again for the AAC and make it look completely obvious that they're keeping these teams out. So they're going to give Cincinnati the benefit of the doubt a little bit more simply because the AAC has played a little bit better football in recent years. That's what it is. I mean, it's pretty cut and dry. This Gary Barda cat, AD for Iowa. I mean, can college football ever just get people that you feel are being honest? I mean, come on. It is unreal. Like this Bill Hancock, the director of the playoff, they're never transparent. They'll give you these canned lines, but we're not going to have a true system in college football to determine a champion until we get mics in that room, until we get video in that room, how they debate the teams. Imagine that. I mean, the viewership was probably halfway decent for the top 25 reveal. Not great, I would imagine. I'd have to go check. But can you imagine the viewership, especially in the college football talking head community? Like, it would be off the charts in terms of content, in terms of viewership for the general college football fan to see how the committee determines this poll and how they're basically conversing about a national champion, because concerns are being raised that this committee didn't watch BYU. They haven't watched BYU in their 9 games, and they just flat out didn't care. They looked at the papers. They looked at the schedule. They said, oh, they beat a bunch of scrubs. Like, this isn't a good football team. Because you look at BYU on film, and even David Pollack pointed it out, the way BYU is physically, that's not just some scrub afterthought team that should be placed behind Iowa State, who lost to a Sun Belt team that's not in your top 25 rankings. How does that compute? How does that compute? It's insane. Barda was also on a teleconference with media reporters after the ESPN playoff show, and he was asked a question by Stuart Mandel about the differences between BYU and Cincinnati, and this was Barda.
Well, to start with, when you look at the schedule, look at the teams. As I mentioned earlier tonight, right now BYU's best win is over Boise State, and in that game, I think they got down to their third-string quarterback. They have played BYU has played three teams against 500 or better opponents. But when you move over to Cincinnati, they're 4-0 against 500 teams and had quality wins as recently as this past weekend against Central Florida, but also earlier against SMU. And Cincinnati is in the top 20 both in scoring offense and scoring defense. So those are some of the differences as we took a look at it.
Gary Barda, you had to know that BYU and Cincinnati was going to be a question that was asked. And you bring up the top 20 scoring offense and scoring defense for Cincinnati, which is good. BYU scoring offense, number 4 in the country, 47.6 points per game. Scoring defense for BYU, number 5 in the country, 13.9 points per game. Is that not in the top 20? It's top 5. It's just unfortunate for BYU. And you could go on and on about this. It is what it is in college football. And this is how it is in college sports, period. It's not just simply the NCAA football situation with the college football playoff. I mean, this is a LLC, the college football playoff. They're about making money. And clearly they don't view BYU as a moneymaker. They don't want BYU to take their money. They don't want them to take their $4 million payday. They are an LLC that wants to just keep the powers that be intact. And the thing is, too, is that, you know, they put on their selection committee a lot of group of five ADs, like, you know, the Wyoming AD, and there's group of five representation. The reason is because the group of five has to accept these terms, because without the power five, you get a split in college football, it's over for the group of five. I mean, you're seeing it this year with the athletic department hits across the country, COVID-19, the testing protocols, but then also the loss of guaranteed games that the power five teams pay these group of five teams. It's a huge hit to the bottom line of these athletic departments. So, of course, they're going to just give in to the playoff because it'll extend their life as far as being intertwined somewhat with power five football. But in all reality, they know they have no chance at this thing. And they just succumb to it because, again, they can't afford to have the split happen. And I think the split will eventually happen. And sadly, it's moments like this that probably tell you BYU will not be in that Power 5 split if that does happen. It's kind of, it's just a really a microcosm of the big picture of college football. BYU's got good relationships. We've always said here on the podcast and on Cougar Sports Saturday, BYU, teams want to schedule BYU. It's good for business, good TV, good program, good success. They're willing to dance maybe one or two games with them, but they don't want to be intertwined with them long term. They don't want to be married to them. They don't want to be in a conference with them. They don't want to share revenue with them. They don't want to go to bat for them with a playoff system. They don't want to go to bat for them when there's a narrative about scheduling. No. You know, and Tom Homo said, and I played this in a podcast last week, talked about how the Pac-12 has been friends. I think you'd have to reevaluate that. I mean, again, I asked Tom about the relationship between BYU and the Mountain West Conference, and it's clearly improved. But then he also noted at the end the relationship with the Pac-12. This is that clip from back in October.
Just through the years, kind of coming back together, you've seen we've scheduled more and more games with Mountain West Conference, and thankfully, because they're regional teams that are we're in the same region, we have really good rivalries through the years. Some of the fans still hold some hard feelings, but I really feel grateful to the individuals in the Mountain West Conference, the conference as a whole, because without them, this wouldn't have happened. And I think that the Pac-12 is a conference that's helped us a lot as an independent. And so it's good to have friends out there during these tough times. You need a lot more friends out there.
You do need a lot more friends. Sadly, those friends didn't come out to deliver for BYU.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And you see those lack of friendships sometimes in these selection committees. I'm telling you, selection committees and BYU, not a good mix. Remember in 1996, John Junker, the Bowl Alliance guy that picked Texas to go to the Fiesta Bowl instead of BYU? Yeah, it's very similar. Men's basketball seeds, we could go on and on about that. It's unreal the seed lines that BYU has always been given and the matchups they've been given. Oh, you know, we'll give you an 8 seed, but then you'll have to have a rematch against a team that smoked you the year before in Texas A&M. Enjoy, BYU. Have fun with that at-large bid. Here's a 12 seed. You know, last year there was a lot of talk about BYU maybe being a 4 or 5 seed. The numbers looked great. The analytics looked great before COVID hit. Would not have been surprised had they dropped to the 6 or 7. I mean, that's just what it is. There's no favors given to BYU sports with selection committees. I mean, we see it in women's basketball with a lot more Sunday play involved. Women's soccer, with them having a Sunday championship. I mean, last season, BYU had probably the best women's soccer team in the land, and they get a 2 seed? And then they had to play in the region with Stanford that probably was the best team. I mean, you saw it on the field. But basically eliminating any potential chance of BYU getting to that Final Four because it was a Sunday bracket. They don't want to reschedule their dates for BYU. The baseball tournament, same thing. Sunday regional, at-large BYU, no thanks. No thanks. It's a frustrating deal. And that's why Cougar fans, I think you are a loyal and passionate group that should continue to just enjoy the ride. Enjoy it with BYU sports and this BYU football team, because I'll tell you, whoever plays BYU football next, they are going to get a pissed off team. They are going to be ticked. I mean, this was Kalani Sitake after being told or hearing from Gary Barta that BYU's best win was a shorthanded football team. You know, again, BYU, They're not going to make excuses. They're just going to go out and play. And I worry for the next team that plays BYU.
So I guess it was him that spoke and mentioned, they mentioned BYU, you know, but last I checked, I didn't know that the quarterback for Boise State played defense. So, you know, I think if they're going to really look at it, they should probably look at all the different things. And we know how hard it is to win with your third string quarterback. We did it last year. So, you know, I just know that we have a team that's really deep. And, you know, I'm trying not to get too frustrated. I know Jay wants to see me get mad and all that, but I just know we have a team that's really deep. You guys have seen us. You guys have seen games where you're like, hey, where's this guy? Where's that guy? We've never been full strength, but we don't cry about it either. You know, we just go on and play and we feel really good with our depth. But how many times have we played with missing linemen or missing position here and there and really haven't skipped a beat as a team? And I think that's a huge compliment to our depth on our team, huge compliment to our coaches and the development of our players, and then huge compliment to the talent that we have here.
There you go. That's Kalani Sitake. BYU checks in at number 14 in the college football playoff rankings. Full coverage on KSLSports.com, and we'll have more coverage on the Cougar football team throughout the season whenever they may play, November or December 5th, December 19th, 12th, whatever it looks like. We'll be ready for when BYU takes the gridiron, takes the field once again this season. I teased it earlier in the show, but I wanted to mention it. And this month at KSL, as you heard earlier this month on the podcast, had an interview with Mark Wilson, and we're having a month with KSL Sports about Healthy Mind Matters. And I just wanted to say this week, it's been, haven't had the podcast up this week because honestly, I was going through some stuff with myself personally. And I thought I'd use this platform with KSL and Cougar Tracks, this medium, this space that I have with you guys. I feel a deep connection to Cougar Nation with this podcast. I'm very proud of the show and willing to open up with you guys. But, you know, after the Utah-USC game, I was watching that late Saturday night, and then early Sunday morning, like the early hours of the morning, I had a intense panic attack. And got to say, you know, it just in that moment, I think I was overcome. My body was sore, chest was hurting, back, shoulders. And, you know, got feedback from the doctor that it was a panic attack. I honestly will say, at first I thought, oh no, I got COVID. This is terrible. I'm going to be on a ventilator, all this stuff. But, you know, I want to use this as an opportunity to, one, say it's good to sometimes recharge and just take care of yourself mentally. And that's why we have this month in November. And, you know, to give thanks, I know that's an important thing right now, just to give thanks for people that care about you and give you the opportunity to recharge and to take care of yourself and mental side of things, because it's important. I'll tell you, earlier this week, I did not feel good when all this stuff was happening with the Washington news. I put out some tweets, but I was not feeling well at all. My phone was blowing up with texts, and people were hearing this and hearing that and asking me questions. And I love that because I want to talk to you guys. I love this topic. I love covering BYU sports. It's my passion. But, man, it was kind of like I just need to pull away a little bit because my mental, I was not doing well. And it just made me realize you got to have a little more balance sometimes, not go burn out completely and take care of yourself, because I think the last few months I haven't done that as well, and appreciate working at a place like KSL that values that and gave me the chance to have a few days off without having to work and just kind of taking a much needed break, because now I feel a lot better. Still feel a little bit sore in my shoulder and chest and all that stuff, but it was good to have that recharge. I think mentally it kind of was frustrating for me because I was like, oh, I got to get some Cougar Tracks up. I got to get some more articles up. It's just, that's what I want to do. I want to provide great content for you guys. But yeah, I just wanted to use that as a thing here, especially with November being a Healthy Mind Matters month, bringing awareness to mental health here at KSL and all of our mediums, KSL TV, KSL News Radio, and KSLSports.com. I just wanted to share my experience because I think I kind of neglected it the past few years, and definitely was something that brought back to focus, you know, how the importance of mental health and why we need to take it seriously, and why we need to make sure that you know, we're always doing well in that regard. Because earlier this week, I just was not doing well at all, and that's why you didn't see any podcasts uploaded on the feed earlier this week. So appreciate your guys' patience with me to not get upset. I got a few tweets and DMs, you know, saying like I miss Cougar Tracks. Well, I appreciate your guys' patience though. So thank you for that. And you know, with that, BYU basketball season gonna be tipping off tonight against Westminster. Looking forward to that. Tip off is at 6 o'clock. Pregame coverage begins at 5 on KSL News Radio. I'll be at the game, so I'm looking forward to seeing the Cougars in action. It's going to be a far different atmosphere than the last time I experienced a BYU game at the Marriott Center. Last time at the Marriott Center, it was Gonzaga and BYU. This is going to be Westminster and BYU in front of an empty Marriott Center. 2020. But even in 2020, in these crazy times, you got to take care of yourself. So thanks again for listening to that. And if you could, subscribe to the show, leave a comment, a rating. It would be greatly appreciated. Even if it's, you know, not a five-star, being preferred five-star, yes, but any sort of honest feedback, how I can improve the show, always willing to get positive feedback or any sort of feedback to do better for you guys. So appreciate all of you. I'll be back tomorrow to talk some more BYU football, BYU basketball, in a special Thanksgiving edition, giving thanks here on Cougar Tracks. So signing off, I'll talk to you tomorrow here on the Cougar Tracks podcast on KSLSports.com.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.